In the garden. Oh. I was going to put in a room.
Up to it.
Right. In the garden.
Can they hear us?
Testing.
Yep.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yep, thank you. Okay.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
There shall be showers of blessings. I don't know, it's 558. Number 558, I don't know if you guys can see it. There it is.
Nope.
Somebody, nope. Somebody tried to hit it again. Oh, that's 12.
Oh. Here,
it's
right
in the garden. That's what we just sang. No, that's what we just sang.
Right.
Oh, hit the arrow. I think somebody put it up there. Hit that arrow.
Yeah, right here.
Oh, okay. That too.
No, that's okay. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor your word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Shall be showers of blessing, oh that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Okay, if you could kneel. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with your presence. Thank you for hearing our prayers and blessing as you do each and every one of us personally as individuals and as your Son's bride. Bless our faith, Father. Help us in our unbelief. Let the signs follow your people so that you are glorified before all the entire universe. Thank you for the truth that is eternal. It blesses us each and every hour of the day. And thank you for the mercy that you have towards your people and the long-suffering, as weak as we are. Thank you for forgiving us. We fall short many times, but you're always there to pick us up. We thank you for all these things and blessing us with this truth that you called Brother Ryan to share. Thank you for letting the truth cut deep into the hearts. And again, we lift up all those that are on our prayer list, those that help us do the work, and those that actually do the work. And again, to the best of our ability, we pray in the name of your Son, our Lord, our King, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Give me a moment. I gotta set up the microphone here.
Sabbath blessings, dear brethren. Very blessed to be here with you in word. Just praying that your day has been good so far, that your week was good. And just here to praise his name with you. This is part two of the sermon series, Back to Eden. And I would just like, as an overview, to summarize part one was about what God had instituted in Eden as far as our food for our first parents as well as for us. All the way down to Noah and the flood, and that meat was permitted after the flood, after sin, but specifically after the flood, where there was nothing else to eat because the vegetation was wiped out, as well as it touched briefly on Esau and his failures when it came to his controlling of appetite. If you had missed that part, please visit okcsdrmedia.org. To listen to that first part. So briefly, I just want to share with you guys that this is going to be on Exodus, the Israelites, God's people being led out of Egypt into the Promised Land, and what were the things that they went through to get there, as well as also some of the Levitical commands that God had given to these people in Leviticus about this same time. So let us begin. Exodus 16, verses 3 to 5. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Brothers and sisters, we can see now that immediately as they were being led out, the Israelites were being led out from Egypt, from bondage, that as soon as they could not eat, what they were accustomed to eating, the rich, luxurious foods that were very detrimental to their health. As soon as they could not eat these things, they were already accusing the Lord of trying to kill them with hunger. So we see that it has greatly affected them to have to go onto a simple, wholesome diet. That so much so that they're now accusing the very God that had led them forth by His hand through the Red Sea, through Pharaoh, had destroyed Pharaoh and his army. And hunger has done this. And then we also see that the Lord has said He's going to rain bread from heaven, that He may test us, or test them, if they were walking that law, His law. So He's going to prove them through appetite, if they will obey or not. God's plan was to lavish His people with great blessings. And His purpose was to bring them to a good land, which is designed in richness and fertility, to be called a land flowing with milk and honey, as we know, which is Canaan. God planned to establish them as a healthy people. They're a healthy people, strong and mighty people, if they would just submit to His requirements and His commands. The Israelites, His chosen people, had lived in Egypt, eating that luxurious and rich food, which by no means were simple or healthful. And we see how they murmured the second that they could not have that. That God would bring them through the wilderness as a test, as well as we saw God said, He's going to prove them. It was a test, an instrument to make them healthier, to remove that flesh from their diet. In this, He would establish them in the good land of Canaan and have a people free from that feebleness, the cloudiness of mind that when we eat certain ways benumbs us. You know, it destroys our thought process. Brethren, He did this to make them healthier because they were very unhealthy. He used the wilderness as one, to get them healthier, and two, to test their loyalty to Him. You know, since the fall of Eve in Eden, in Adam, through intemperate desire to satisfy their taste, this has been the prevailing or the most common sin of the human family. Eve, after she sinned, persuaded her husband to eat of it also. Adam was not deceived, as was Eve, but he was influenced by her to do as she had done. She had no harm come to her immediately, so he felt like he could eat and risk that consequence too. You know, Adam loved his wife more than God, and this is what is sad. And these people are already proving that they love that appetite, they love that food more than God, to accuse Him of these things. He cannot stand to be separated, this is Adam, from her, and chose to partake of that same sin. Since this occurrence was introduced that sin into our world, sin in general into our world, the intemperate, lustful appetite and the power of influence that one in the wrong exerts over one another have brought an accumulation of misery that is not possible for language to describe, brothers and sisters. In no other way has Satan come with his temptations to fallen humankind as successfully as through the appetite. And this is why we're going over these things, because we must see how important it is to overcome, to glorify God in our bodies, in everything. Now, as we continue to read, are we going to see if this murmuring of these flesh pots, this murmuring of these rich fleshy foods that the Israelites were consuming, did God somehow give them what they asked in their murmuring? Exodus 16, verses 12 to 13. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. Okay, we see that the Lord is already hearing their murmurings. He's hearing it. And what did He give them? He gave them quails, so much so that it covered everything. Okay, it covered the whole camp. Now, Numbers 11, 31 to 34. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up all that day, and all that night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quails, he that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against this people. And the Lord smote the people with a very great plague, and he called the name of that place Kibrothhattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. Brethren, the first thing is he gave them this quail. He gave them this flesh because of their murmurings, okay? Not because God had made a mistake in Eden when he had given them the fruit and then permitted the vegetables after sin, the tilling of the land. Not because he says he had made a mistake in that, but because these people murmured, okay? They murmured and they lusted after this flesh. So he gave it to them. He gave them their heart's desire, okay? As he does to each and every one of us. If we do not want to follow him, if we want other things that he has not given us, okay, and not out of ignorance, but because we surely do not want to listen to him, he will give us up to those vile affections because we have asked for it. He has given us choice, dear brethren, choice, okay? So much so that these people had to be buried, okay? They died. They died because they ate so much. They indulged to the point of death. And they're journeying through the wilderness. Rebellion and insurrection were continually arising in the armies of Israel because their perverted appetites would not be indulged, okay? They could not indulge themselves, so they were constantly arising, rebellion and insurrection, okay? Moses was brought into the greatest perplexity, and his heart made sad through that continual murmuring of the children of Israel because God, for their own good, withheld from them the flesh meat, okay? They were continually imagining trouble and anticipating evil because they could not keep their mind on the Lord, but because they could only focus on their stomach. They could only focus on that indulging of that appetite, that sin. And they were jealous of Moses, thinking that he might have selfish motives in leading them from Egypt, that it might have been his desire to lead them into the wilderness so that they might perish there and he may enrich himself with their possessions. See? We already see the paranoia, the coveting, the lying, the fault-finding, the murmuring, the hating, the accusing God of evil. All these things are being attributed to them not being able to eat the flesh and them not being able to eat the way that they were eating in Egypt, but the way that they wanted their passion to be indulged, okay? God was not unmindful of the wants of this people, of his people, and in his wisdom he provided the needed supply. He said to the leaders, I will rain bread from heaven for you. The Lord designed to prove them, and by indulgence through the miraculous provision for their wants to test them to see whether they would keep his commandments or not. The Lord promised to supply them through Moses with abundance of food. By his power, he would give them flesh to eat in the evening and in the morning bread in abundance. Okay? They could have ate the bread. They could have sustained themselves with this bread. But which are they going to choose? Moses told them that their murmurings were not against him, being Moses, but against the Lord. He that was enshrouded in the pillar of cloud heard all their murmurings and all their bitter complaints, as he does us, brethren. He hears every bitter complaint that we have, every murmuring in our heart, for whatever it may be, he hears it, okay? It's not against the man who might be sharing it with you if you complain. It is against the Lord who has sent that man or that woman to rebuke you or to share in love the proper course the Lord would like for you to have through their experience or just strictly through the scriptures which there has been revealed to them, okay? While Aaron was speaking to the congregation, there was a remarkable change in the pillar of the cloud. Okay? Perverted appetites are indulged, and we have, and a restriction upon an unhealthy appetite will lead many professed Christians now to start back. Okay, brethren? As soon as it gets tough, as soon as we have to pick up that cross and deny self, okay, deny self, many will start back. They will turn back on their Lord. As though they would actually starve to death because they have to eat fruits and vegetables and the grains and the nuts and the seeds, these things that God has given us that are actually the best things on earth for us. And just like the children of Israel, they would accept the slavery, diseased bodies, and even death rather to be deprived of their appetite, their hurtful indulgence of appetite. Brethren, bread and water is all that we have been promised to the remnant, to us, in the time of trouble. Okay, we see in Isaiah 33:16, He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure. Brothers and sisters, we see the end result of the lustful want of flesh eating. God gave them up to what they wanted. He will give us all what we want because He did not create robots, as I have mentioned before. Okay? We are a living, breathing body by His Spirit, by His breath. Okay? We are not a piece of machinery. He has given us this choice to worship Him, to obey Him, and that's all He asks from us, is our allegiance. We see with Adam and Eve that we were created with the power of choice. He gave them a choice, and they chose wrong. And if we choose, which is unhealthy and against God's design, we will pay the price for it, brothers and sisters. We will pay the price for it. As I know, I have. Each and every one of us have in some way, or we know someone who has. Because very few of us, except the little ones right now, were raised in truth. Okay, were raised in this present truth, if any of us. So we have a lot to overcome. We've had a lot to overcome. You know, we're taught from the beginning that we have to have these things, or we will die. But I'm here as a living testimony, as many of us are, that not only will you have a more enjoyable, healthful body and life and sleep and everything, you definitely will not die if you do not eat flesh and you do not eat these cakes and these all these things that the world craves after, that it loves. And also, in that little time of trouble, as in Isaiah says, we were not promised three or four course meals. We will be surviving on as little as possible to make the best decisions, which is why we are being tested now. And also another reason why fasting is good. Brothers and sisters, the more we put in our stomach, the more is required from our brain, the more that is required from every single part of our body. Blood rushes there. Okay? God does not want us to indulge this because everything else has to shut down and take a back seat to the stomach. Okay? In that little time of trouble, we will need every ounce of discernment, every ounce of everything that we have gained. And if we're eating upon the king's meals, or upon the world's meals, indulging, we will be captured. We will fall prey to Satan, because we will not be able to discern. Now, we saw that he was testing, okay? That he was proving them. And it appears many have failed that, okay? Now, was he going to take another aspect of his law, okay, and see if we would be obedient to that part as well, and to be tested as far as when it comes to the diet in regard to that point. Let's see, Exodus 16:23-29. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seed that ye will seed, and that which remaineth over lay up for you, to be kept until the morning. And they laid up till the morning, as with Moses bade. And it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it. But on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass, that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. Church, we know the importance of the Sabbath day. We're gathered here today for this blessed day. Brothers and sisters, The Israelites had lost track of the Sabbath. They have lost track of the holy law of God in Egypt, okay? They were in severe bondage. They were surrounded by the world and the paganism, the pagan customs of Egypt. They had lost sight of so many things, okay? They're being reminded, they're being told again that you are to prepare on the sixth day for that which will come on the seventh day. And this even includes food. Mostly includes food, that we may get our thoughts right, we may get everything in order, that we may devote ourselves wholly unto the Lord, for it is His holy Sabbath, okay? God has been blessing these people so much so that He is raining manna on high to them in double portion on the sixth day, okay? No worm will be in it. It will not stink, because we know that if they took double on any other day, whatever they would not use for a normal day, it would not last until the next day. It'd be rotten, okay? They had seen this. So now the Lord is saying, the sixth day, I'll rain double to you, that you may have it for the Sabbath, that you will not go out of your place and search for anything, that you won't have to worry about that, okay? You won't have to worry about it. I will take care of it. I am the Lord, okay? I'm not going to give you a command that you're not able to keep. So He does this for them. He's going to test them. Are they going to believe the words that He's saying? As He tested Adam and Eve. Well, we see that many did not. They went out on the seventh day to look, and there was none to be found. And here we see the Lord asking Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandments and my law? Because it's been going on since day one, brethren. And so much of it is from appetite. So we see here that the Lord once again put His people to the test. And the test was the keeping of the Sabbath via the appetite. Would they be able to keep this holy Sabbath, or would they want to satisfy that indulgence of appetite? Would they believe what He's saying, that you should gather six, double the amount on 6 days, on the sixth day? Or would you not believe Him and try to fulfill your perverted appetite on the day that is His? Okay? The Lord has commanded they should prepare everything on the sixth day, double what they normally consume. Okay? Their disregard for the Sabbath. And three, there's still yet weakness in controlling of the appetite. For each and every one of us knows, at the very least, we can last one day without food. Okay? So even if they did not heed that on the sixth day which the Lord said, they still could have not have gone out and broken His command. Okay? They could have stayed in their place and not have eaten. We know that we're not going to die after one day. Okay? After this, do we see if the Lord has commanded Moses and these people that not only is what He's saying going to be for right now, but it's going to be forever, for generations to come, or for people in the future, you know, their children. Exodus 16:32. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations. They may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. Exodus 16:35. Now, an omer is a tenth part of an ephah, okay? So we see that the Lord is commanding them that this be kept for your generations, that they may, as a witness, see at the bread wherewith I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, okay? He's telling us to this day, brothers and sisters, that we are to look what He has done for these people as direction for ourselves, okay? If we are sick, we've been eating wrong, we've been feeding on the flesh pots of America or of any part of this world, we are to look to His scripture to see what it is we need to do to get right with Him, to get healthy. We're to eat of the bread. We're to eat of that manna, that heavenly food that He has given us. God requires that His holy day be as sacredly observed now as in the time of Israel. The command given to the Hebrews should be regarded by all us Christians as an injunction from God the Father to them. The day before the Sabbath should be made a day of preparation, that everything may be in the readiness for its sacred hours. In no case should our own business be allowed to encroach upon holy time. God has directed that the sick and every suffering should be cared for, that our labor required to make them comfortable, the work of mercy, makes no violation of the Sabbath. But all unnecessary work should be avoided. Many of us out there, carelessly put off till the beginning of the Sabbath little things that might have been done on the day of preparation. This should not be. work that is neglected until the beginning of the Sabbath should remain undone until it's past. In other words, if those people had not done what the Lord said and gathered up double on the sixth day, when the Sabbath started, they should have waited till it was done to go get food, because they did not listen. This course might help the memory of these thoughtless ones and take them to careful to do their own work on the six working days. See, every week during their long sojourn in the wilderness, the Israelites witnessed a threefold miracle designed to impress their minds with the sacredness of the Sabbath. A double quantity of manna fell on the sixth day, none on the seventh. And the portion needed for the Sabbath was preserved sweet and pure, brothers and sisters. When if any were kept over at any other time, it became unfit for use. The test of appetite that we are to prepare for before the Sabbath to make sure that we have double ready on the sixth day was going to continue on to generations even till Christ comes the second time. Let it be a lesson. The reason being, Sabbath is the test, the end time test, okay? But if we cannot overcome this appetite, we will fail in the Sabbath. We'll fail in everything because they're all linked, okay? We know we must eat. The devil's going to tempt in that regard. You know, oh, you can't go 5 hours without eating, but that's not true. You can, okay? Now, as we move on, because of their murmurings, because of their constant complaining to Moses and to the Lord, do we see that the Lord, not only after he allowed me the consumption of meat and permitted it, did he lay out specific guidelines for them? Did he tell them other things? Leviticus 3, verse 17. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that ye eat neither fat nor blood. If we eat meat that contains fat and blood, it is because we are seeking to satisfy that perverted taste. Okay? Today, the blood and the fat of the animals are consumed purely as a luxury, purely as a satisfactory taste to us. We may indulge. The Lord gave us a special direction that we should abstain from these things because he knew that it would create a diseased body by polluting the blood. The blood is the oil, okay? Blood to the body is oil to the car, brothers and sisters. When we or others in the past have disregarded this Lord's directions on this subject, we are bringing or have brought on a variety of difficulties and diseases upon the human body, upon ourselves. If we introduce that, we will not make good flesh and blood. We must endure the end result of disregarding God's precious words. The sole purpose we eat is to make good blood. That is, we don't do it to satisfy taste. Okay? We are to eat according to principle, not according to taste, or feeling, or anything else that's not directed by God. Food builds blood, and we are to build good blood to nourish the brain, to nourish the liver, to nourish everything that is in our body. Now, is he telling this to them for a reason? I mean, is there a reason why the Lord is saying this to them? Is it more in depth? Leviticus 10:10, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. Okay? Here we see in Leviticus 10:10 that God wants us to put a difference between the holy and unholy, and between the unclean and the clean. He is showing us that there is a stark difference between the two. If we don't put a difference in regard to eating, our minds will become confused and our moral sharpness will be blunted so that we cannot discern the difference between that which is sacred and that which is in common, in spiritual matters or anything for that matter. We will not be able to understand. We will not be able to discern what the Lord has us to do. The still small voice will continue to get smaller. All these things have been placed upon record for the benefit of us, for God's people, and should teach, and we should teach those who especially are preparing for the second coming of Christ, that the indulgence of our perverted appetite destroys the very fine feelings of our soul, the soul, and affects the reasoning powers that God has given us. See, this is what separates man from beast, the reasoning powers, that God has given us. We are not dumb beasts. He has given us that reasoning power to make right decisions. But we must feed the things that make the right decisions. Disobedience looks pleasing instead of exceeding sinful, and spiritual and holy things lost their sacredness to them and to us if we continue on. Now it goes even a little deeper in Leviticus 11. He's gone to lay out the difference between the clean and unclean. Whatsoever parteth the hoof and is cloven-footed and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat. Okay? First off, I'd like to... It's too long to go over at this moment, but each and every one of us needs to go over. I put a couple links. A couple links are in the notes. The full chapter of Leviticus can be found at www.remnantofgod.org/unclean.htm. Okay? And also the full listing of clean and unclean animals can be found at the same www.remnantofgod.org/health.htm. And that, the listing of clean and unclean animals, is approximately the middle of the page. Okay? I suggest each and every one of us, or one of you, if you have not already read it, to read it, and if we have, read it again. Let us make sure that we put the difference between the unholy and holy, and clean and unclean. Now, this is not saying that meat is good for us, okay? It's not saying that meat was what was originally intended for us, but this is what God has given them according to their own murmurings, okay? This is what He has said shall be consumed, if you're going to do this. But let it be known that this is not even the best for us either. It's because of their murmurings and their lack of faith. Okay, all of Leviticus 11 needs to be read and understood. God is saying that this is permitted for them to eat meat, but this is a guideline for this. Okay? According to God's word, if we disobey health laws, we will live a life filled with disease and eventually death. And most of the time, from what I can see on this earth, it is very, very miserable and painful death that people go through with the arthritis, with the coughs, with the pains, everything. And it's for it is written in Deuteronomy 28, verses 15, 27, 35, and 59 to 61. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. Moreover, He will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness, and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Dear brethren, further on in this study, further on in these sermons, we will find out why, even though meat was permitted, we know why it was permitted, for the lustfulness and the murmuring. But we will find out why, even if we follow the description of the cloven and the clean and unclean, that what we eat today is by no means clean. Okay, we will get to that further on in the studies. You know, this is a walk through an outline of perfection, which was in Eden, to where we are now in this world, which is misery. God has permitted meat to be eaten because of that sin and the lustfulness of mankind. Let us remember this. I cannot say it enough. This is the reason why it was permitted. This is to show the end results of consuming flesh and anything that is bad for us. We will continue to walk through this in the sermons until we get to present day. I pray that each and every one of you was blessed and continue to be blessed with this message. And we continue to strive for that perfection that is in all things Christ Jesus. May each and every one of you have a blessed week to come. blessed rest of the day. And may God bless each and every one of you. Love you all. Amen.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Ever since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to say. When this poor living stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave. When this poor living stammering tongue lies silent in the grave.
Amen. If we can kneel, it's time to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us in this truth and giving us an understanding of it and blessing us with an opportunity to share it. Thank you for being our God and sending your Son to be our Savior. And thank you for the Spirit that guides us with every step we take. Thank you for blessing all that are on our prayer list. Thank you for cutting the hearts today and changing the showbread. And thank you for blessing those that do the work and those that help us do the work. And thank you again for all these things. In the name of your Son, our Savior and King, we pray to the best of our ability. Amen. Amen. One thing I want to clear up, there was a question in regards to vain repetition. Prayer is vain repetition, like when you do that rosary or the Buddhist chant or the Satanist chant or whatever. Like the Lord's Prayer, they call it too. That's not a prayer, by the way. That is an outlined prayer. If it was a prayer, then why didn't Jesus say it or recite it in John 17. It's just an outline. But in Scripture, we can use Psalms over again, Proverbs. We can repeat that which is written in the Word. That wouldn't be considered vain repetition because He wrote it. It's when we start putting our own words down on paper and repeating it over and over again like some kind of a mantra or a chant. And, yeah, that's wrong. But we can use Scripture in prayer and things like that. So, God bless you, too, out there in SDR, Ohio, all our sisters in the faith. Amen. So, praise the Lord. Seventh-day Remnant in Ohio. Anyway, I hope and pray everybody had a blessed Sabbath. Brother Ryan has got part three next week, and I believe Brother Ace is preaching on the 18th. I'm hoping that Brother Ryan and Brother Craig will be ready to share a mission report on the 25th of this month so that we can hear all the amazing things that have happened. And this, I praise the Lord for what they're doing out there in Canada, because the emails started coming and the phone calls and stuff like that. Yeah, you know, it kind of lets, you know, see the blessings upon it, you know. So hope and pray that they're able to share with us. Yeah.